morning. Hallelujah. I hope you are all doing well. Our brother Tom Smith is at the ER with abdominal pain, so we are going to pray right now. They won't let Janie in there, so we're going to pray for both of them. Amen. So let's set our faith in agreement. Jesus said, where two or three shall agree is touching anything, that he would do it for us. So, Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you. Lord, we come boldly to your throne of grace because we are your children, but we come humbly and reverently because of who you are. You are the Melech HaOlam, the King of the universe. And Father, we come by way of the sacrifice, by way of the blood of Jesus. And Father, we just come boldly today where we might obtain grace and mercy for Tom, Lord God. Father, I pray you give the doctors and the nurses wisdom, Lord God. But most of all, we just pray that you touch Tom, heal him, and make him whole. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, we pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding to come down upon Janie, Lord God. And let her mind and her heart, let them be at ease and at peace, Lord God. And Father, I just thank you and praise you for any of our Church of the King members out there, Lord, that are suffering today from sickness, disease. I lift up Gene to you, Lord God. I pray your healing touch upon them. And Father, if there's any other ones, I pray that your healing balm of Gilead would flow, your healing anointing would flow, healing them and making them whole this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You will be receiving a postcard here soon from us. We are going to start back assembling here at the church the first Sunday in May. Let me see what would be the date of that. Let me look that up really quick. I meant to do it when I first got here, and I forgot. So that would actually be May the 3rd. So May the 3rd, we intend on assembling back here at church. But you'll be getting a postcard, and we'll have all the guidelines. We want to maintain all the social distancing. We want to maintain, no handshakes, no hugs. That'll be tough in our church because we are truly a family, and the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts one towards another. If you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, wear a mask. I'm not so sure about gloves because I think gloves can probably... people don't change their gloves like they wash their hands. So sometimes gloves are more contaminated. We just want to keep washing our hands. If you're sick, got a cough, you don't feel right, stay at home. Amen. So, but you'll be getting a postcard soon. That's Sunday, May 3rd. We hope to be back here worshiping together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm ready to see you. Something that's been overlooked since you've all been gone. Many of you have been good to bring your tithes and your offerings to the church. Some of you have not been so good about it. So I will be here about 30 minutes after the worship service if anybody needs to bring their tithes and offering. But one of the things we've neglected, and I brought mine today, was our jars to support the Jewish people. Amen? So I brought some coins. I couldn't get any more in my cups. So I'm going to walk over here and pour mine in. Remember, we collect this. Usually, we collect all this right after Passover, and my wife Debbie, she takes it where she works. There is a bank there, and they have a coin counter. That bank's not open yet. Hopefully it will be open by the end of May. So when you come back on May 3rd, don't forget your coins for the jars to bless Bridges for Peace, because they bless the Jewish people. God promised through Abraham that he would bless those who bless him and curse those who cursed him. So now you're up to date. So we are at class 7, Pentecost. How many of you know that the Passover was not God's goal. Remember, the children of Israel celebrated the Passover, right? Then the death angel passed by every home that had the blood of that lamb on it. Then they came out of Egypt the next day. They left in haste, and God took them to Mount Sinai. And it was about 50 days later that they came to Mount Sinai. And it was at Mount Sinai that God gave them the Ten Commandments, or also called the Decalogue. And it was at Mount Sinai that God spoke to them and told them these things that he expected of them. And remember, he wanted them to come up on the mountain, but because of the lightnings and the thunderings, they didn't want to go up to the mountain. They told Moses, "You speak to God and come back and tell us." But the commandments God gave them, they said they would do all that he commanded. So in essence, the at Sinai, that was the wedding vows between God and them. Remember in Jeremiah 31, God said he brought them out in order to be a husband to them. Amen. God gave them the command for Shabbat, right? And what did we say Friday night? That Shabbat, keeping the Sabbath for the Jews, marked them as a distinct people of God. And that Sabbath, honoring the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath holy, became Israel's wedding band. You know, my wife wants me to wear my wedding band. Why? Because that wedding band marks me. It's a sign, a symbol of my covenant with my wife. Amen? And that keeping that Shabbat became that wedding band. Also, God commanded them to keep these seven feast days. So, I started out with saying Passover was not God's goal. Remember, there is Passover. The next day starts an 8-day period of eating unleavened bread. Then the third day is the first fruits offering, where they brought the first fruits of the barley harvest. And now today they count 50 days from that first fruits offering to what is called Pentecost by the church. The Feast of Pentecost. In Hebrew, it's called the Feast of Shavuot. Remember, the Passover celebration involved the first of the barley harvest. But at Pentecost, or Shavuot, it was part of the wheat harvest. Amen? And Passover was never God's goal. Shavuot, Pentecost, was God's goal. God's goal was not simply to spare them from the death angel. He wanted to bring them to Sinai, where he could be a husband to them. That was God's goal. Now, for you and I as Christians, Passover, Jesus dying on the cross, redeeming us for sin, that's still not God's goal. The goal was 50 days after the first fruits, that resurrection of Jesus. The goal was at Pentecost, when Peter said, "This same Jesus you have crucified," or this is proof positive, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, these people speaking in other tongues and magnifying God. He said, "This is proof positive that this Jesus whom you crucified is now seated at the right hand of God, pouring out his Spirit." And the Apostle Paul says it best in Galatians 4 when he says that we now have the Spirit of the Son in us. Amen. The Spirit of Messiah, whereby we can cry, "Abba, Father." God wants a relationship with you and I. And his goal was not simply to redeem you from hell, but his goal was to have a relationship with you, for you to be his habitation, for God to dwell in you in the person of his Holy Spirit. Amen? And I've just really told you everything that Pentecost is all about. But I want you to turn with me to Leviticus. Leviticus 23 and verse 15. And he says, "And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of of two tenths of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits to the Lord. And you shall offer with the bread seven lambs of the first year without blemish, one young bull and two rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice one kid of the goats as a sin offering, two male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. The priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the two lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field. When you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am Yahweh your Elohim, or I am the Lord your God. Glory to God. Number one in your notes. While a Passover lamb provides us with the peace of God, peace is your blanket, number one. The Passover goal was to bring us to the Feast of Pentecost in order that he might empower us. Hallelujah. Peace is your blanket, number one. Number two, while Passover marked the beginning of the barley harvest, the Feast of Pentecost was a celebration during the wheat harvest. It came on the sixth day of the month of Sivan. We read that in Leviticus 23. Harvest is your blank there, number two. Harvest. Number three, Yahweh said that they were to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost 50 days after first fruits, which was celebrated on the 17th day of Nisan. 50 days later falls on the 6th of Sivan. The word Pentecost in the Greek means 50. 50 is your blank in three. This is where the name Pentecost comes from. Remember, originally in Hebrew it was called Shavuot. But in the Greek it became Pentecost. Four, there were two loaves of bread baked with leaven and fine flour that had been carefully sifted. The wave offering expressed the Hebrews' dependence on God for the harvest and their daily bread. It was a thanksgiving offering. So bread is your blank. Amen. And it was made with yeast. Why? Well, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but I'll tell you anyway. The two loaves represent Jew and Gentile before a holy God. Remember, we eat matzah, bread with no yeast at Passover, because that represents Jesus, who was without sin, without spot, and without blemish. Amen. But at Shavuot, we offer to God two wheat loaves with yeast because they represent Jew and Gentile. We are not spotless and without sin. Amen. Jesus was. However, through his blood, our sins are forgiven. Glory to God. So bread is your blanket number four. Number five, after the diaspora, the Feast of Pentecost lost its primary significance as a harvest festival and was celebrated as a memorial to the time when God gave them the Torah at Sinai. Torah is your blank. Now, diaspora, what is that? Some people might ask. Well, in 70 AD, the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and Jews were dispersed into other parts of the world. Then again, there was a second Jewish revolt in 135 AD, and the Roman Emperor Hadrian, he squashed it. And again, he further dispersed Jews into other lands, and Jews migrated, and they ended up in Europe and other countries. Actually, there's probably Jews on every continent in the world. Amen? Yet they make up only probably less than 1% of the whole world's population. Okay, we're number six. It is traditionally taught that God gave the Torah to Moses on the day of Pentecost. They arrive at Mount Sinai in the third month on the third day, and 3 days later, God came down upon Sinai and gave them his Torah. Amen. Number seven, the English translation says, all the people witnessed the thundering and the lightning. Jewish scholars believe that the people actually saw the voice of God coming out of the mountain in tongues of fire. And I want to read to you from Psalms 29. Psalms 29, verse 1 says, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And remember, in your Bibles, that word Lord, all capital letters, is the most holy name of God in the Hebrew tradition, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Transliterated into English, it's Yahweh. Amen. And it means the all-powerful covenant, the all-powerful creative covenant-keeping God. Amen. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everyone says, glory. The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Verse 7 again. It describes the voice of the Lord. It says, the voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. Amen. I want us to go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. And I want you to think about something. For over 1,500 years, the Jews had kept Passover. They had shared these stories with their children. And I believe with all my heart, they shared the story of coming to Sinai and the mountain shaking and quaking and lightning and thundering. And I believe that they shared with their children's children for over 1,500 years that the voice of God was seen as cloven tongues of fire. Amen. So this was in their mind. It was part of their teaching. It was part of who they were. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I don't believe the miracle is the tongues. I think the miracle is they all heard in their own language. That's the miracle. That this voice of God was coming through everyone that was in that upper room. And everyone that was around that area heard them glorify God in these other tongues. I think that's the miracle, that they all heard God, not the tongues itself. Moses is your blank in 6. 7. The English translation says all the people witnessed the thundering and lightning. I think we had this. Jewish scholars believe that the people actually saw the voice of God coming out of the mountain in tongues of fire. Tongues is your blank. 8, since it seems strange to see voices, this phrase was translated as thundering and lightning. The voices sounded like thundering and appeared as fire. Psalms 29 is about the awesome power of the voice of the Lord. Fire is your blank in number 8. Number 9, Exodus 20, 18 through 20. What we learn from Scripture and Jewish scholars is that the first Pentecost did not happen in the book of Acts. It happened in the book of Exodus. Amen. They came to Sinai and were given his Torah. At the first Pentecost, number 10, first is your blank in 9, fire is your blank in 8, and tongues is your blank in 7. Number 10, at the first Pentecost, God wrote his words on tablets of stone, but he promised in the distant future that he would write them on their hearts. And I'm going to turn with you over to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Hallelujah. God is good. Jeremiah 31. Where are you at, Jeremiah 31? Verse 31 says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says Yahweh, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." How is God going to write that on the tablets of their heart? By the infilling of the Spirit of Messiah, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Amen? Dwelling in us. That's how. I want to show you something. We're talking about Passover, but while we're here in Jeremiah, I might be able to find it. Here it is. Jeremiah 16, page 983. Turn over there, if you will, with me. Verse 14, look what it says. In connection with God restoring the land of Israel and restoring the Jewish people to the land of Israel, he says, here's the promise from God through Jeremiah. "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. But the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, from the lands where he had driven them. For I will bring them back into their land, which I gave to their fathers." According to Jeremiah, Jeremiah probably wrote 2,700 years ago, somewhere in that time frame, give or take a few years. But Jeremiah said, "There's coming a day. You're no longer going to talk about how I brought you out of Egypt, but you're going to discuss how I brought you from everywhere, how I restored you as a nation, how I brought you from the northern countries, you know, from Europe, from England, from the Soviet Union. I think there's been almost a million people that have come back to Israel from the Soviet Union." That is just too cool. But that's a promise by God. Amen? But that's just a sidebar. Has nothing to do with Pentecost here. Number 11, I believe, is where we left off. Your blank in 10 is stone. Stone. For 1,500 years, the people came to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, hoping God would fulfill his words. In his appointed time, God would come down on the people at Mount Zion in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. They were looking for that promise. Amen? The promise of that renewed covenant where God would write his word on the tablets of their heart. You know, it's amazing to me when you think about it. God brought them out of Egypt, brought them to Sinai, to be a husband to them. He wanted that relationship with Israel. God, that's how God has created man and woman, for relationships. Relationship with each other, relationships with our children, relationships with our friends, our family, but most of all, so that we can have a relationship with the living God. Amen? So, at Sinai, they refused to go up and meet with God. And they would have to wait over 1,500 years before they'd have that opportunity again to meet with God, when Jesus came as God incarnate in the flesh and then poured out his spirit on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeshua, number 12, Yeshua fulfilled the feast of Pentecost when he was glorified. Remember, we talk about this all the time here. In John 17, Jesus is praying. He asked the Father to glorify him. What was he asking? Let me go to that cross. Let me go into that grave. Let me be resurrected and glorified. Amen. Yeshua fulfilled the feast of Pentecost when he was glorified and exalted to sit at the right hand of God. This was the fulfillment of the spiritual reality of what Yahweh had promised through his prophets Ezekiel 36 and Jeremiah 31, that he would write his Torah, his laws, on the tablets of their heart. Amen. 13. God would write his laws on their hearts through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hearts is your first blank. Hearts. We must remember this was a feast of the Lord that the Jews had been celebrating for centuries. It was not a new revelation. Revelation is your second blank. They had been waiting for centuries. So your blanks in 12, your blank in 12 is glorified. Your blank in 13, your first blank is hearts. And your third blank is revelation. Or your second blank there in 13 is revelation. 14, John 12, 23 to 24, Yeshua was talking about himself as the human grain of wheat who would die for the sins of the world. Remember, he said, unless a kernel of grain fall in the ground and die, it cannot produce much fruit. And he was talking about himself. Amen. There's over 2 billion Christians in the world today. I would say that seed that died at Calvary has produced much fruit. And I don't know how many billions for the last 2,000 years that kernel of wheat has produced in Christianity. How many Christians? The bread that was made of the finest flour represents the perfect righteousness of Yeshua. There was no coarse matter or sin in him. Amen. So they're making these two loaves at Passover out of fine flour. All right. That represents Jesus' righteousness. You need to see this. Our righteousness, Isaiah describes, was as filthy rags. But Jesus was without sin. And Paul over and over uses the term in Christ, in Messiah. Amen. And by that, what he means is when we're saved and we're baptized, filled with the Spirit of God, we are now in Messiah. We are standing in his righteousness. So they make those two loaves of wheat, and the fine flour represents the righteousness of Jesus, who was without sin, right? But they put leaven in it because one loaf represents Jews and one loaf represents Gentiles. Amen. While we did have sin in our hearts, we now are in Messiah, in his righteousness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That make you want to shout. Number 14 again. Yeshua was talking about himself as a human grain of wheat who would die for the sins of the world. The bread was made of the finest flour, represents the perfect righteousness of Yeshua. There was no coarse matter of sin in him. 15. Just as the wheat was crushed, sifted, and baked in order to become bread, so was Jesus crushed, sifted, and crucified for our sins. But because he had never sinned, death is your blank in 15, death could not hold Yeshua. Revelation 1:18, because of his perfect life, Yeshua was resurrected as the first fruits from the dead. Glory to God. As we said last week, he's the first fruits offering, the first one raised for the dead. That offering guarantees our resurrection. Hallelujah. 17. The day of Pentecost did not originate with Christianity. It was the feast day upon which God chose to send the Holy Spirit as proof that Yeshua had been exalted and now was seated at the right hand of God. This was the day when the Jews would be in Jerusalem celebrating the feast and giving of the Torah. 18. On the evening that Yeshua was resurrected, he appeared to his disciples and breathed eternal life into them. Eternal life is your blank, or eternal is your blank. This spiritual new birth established their new life position in Jesus. But he had more for them. He desired that they be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn to John 20, verse 19, if I could. John 20, verse 19. Whoops, went way past it. Had Leviticus on my mind. John 20. Then the same day at evening, I got the right verse here. Yeah. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So Jesus now breathed eternal life into them. And then later he would instruct them to wait in Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Holy Spirit. So for me, there's actually two works. I get born again and I have eternal life in me. There's something that happens into that, you know, with that new birth that cleanses you. But then in the book of Acts, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, or they were empowered now to be witnesses for God. So there definitely was two things going on. 19. Luke 24, 44 through 53. Jesus spent the next 40 days with the disciples, teaching them how the Hebrew scriptures pointed to himself as their fulfillment. Then when it was time for his ascension back to heaven, he commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father. That's found in Acts 1, 4 through 8. It's also found in Jeremiah 31, Ezekiel 36. We've talked about it. So your blank in 19 is Hebrew. Hebrew. Your blank in 18 is eternal. Your blank in 17 is Pentecost. And your blank in 16 is resurrection. In case we might have missed it. 20. About 120 people waited in an upper room, praying and blessing God. They were waiting for the promise. Promise is your blank. You know, Jesus told about 500 to wait in Jerusalem, but it got down to 120. Say amen or oh me, it's true. The same thing's true in our society. You know, there are people who call themselves Christian, but are they really? Are they really walking the walk, talking the talk? Do they obey the command to assemble themselves together? You know, I'm just curious. What most Christians believe and know is that they said a prayer of repentance because hell's a bad option. But they don't have the Spirit of Messiah in them. They have no relationship with the living God. I wouldn't want to be there. All right. I wouldn't want to be in that situation. I need to know God now. 21, from Luke's account, we see the marvelous timing of Yahweh. Thousands of Jews had come to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is your first blank, 21. To celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. While it was true that God gave them the Torah on this day, this Torah could not give them power. Jerusalem is your first blank. Torah is your second blank. When you look at when I'm talking about Luke, God's timing is written by Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. At least they believe he did. God had waited for a feast day, right? Pentecost was one of the three feasts that all the Jewish men had to be in Jerusalem for, and they would bring their wives and their families. So it was a huge crowd, and they were coming from all over. And God picked that day, to reveal His Spirit to them again as cloven tongues of fire, like He had done at Mount Sinai some 1,500 years before. So Jerusalem and Torah are your two blanks in 21. 22, the reality of the Feast of Pentecost was the anointing of the disciples with spiritual power. Spiritual power. Spiritual is your blank. For the purpose of being an effective witness of Yeshua the Messiah. Glory to God. Spiritual is your blank. 23, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to worship Yahweh in languages they did not know, but they were understood by the Jewish pilgrims who had come to keep the feast in Jerusalem. Jewish is your blank there. Jewish pilgrims. 24. Instead of rushing to Mount Sinai, the crowds came to Mount Zion. Just as their ancestors had experienced at Mount Sinai, the people saw and heard the tongues of fire. Tongues is your blank in 24. 25, the crowds thought the disciples were drunk, but Peter noted that it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Then he stood up and preached a bold sermon that caused many to tremble and to seek salvation. 3,000 were saved that very day. Preached is your blank. Why 3,000? Do you remember how many died with that golden calf incident when the children of Israel came out of Egypt? You guessed it, 3,000. And God added those 3,000 back to His assembly in the book of Acts. I think that's just cool. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Preached is your blank in 25. 26, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was taking place on the very day that the priests were offering the two loaves of bread as a wave offering to God, symbolizing their total dependence on Him. God is your blank in 26. 27, the wave loaves were baked with leaven, symbolizing sin. One of those loaves was pointing to the Jews who, although they were yet sinners, received the power of God in their lives by acknowledging Yeshua as Messiah. He was the fine flour. This happened on the exact day the Jews had been celebrating for the past 1,500 years. 28. The other loaf represented the Gentiles, who would also receive this wonderful blessing from God, even though they were sinners too. Peter said the promise of the Father was for everyone who would acknowledge Yeshua as Messiah. Glory to God. 29, so Gentiles is your blank in 28. Jews is your blank in 27. 29, the fine flour represented Jesus. The leaven or sin represented you and I as they waved the offerings before God. That is a picture of us standing in Messiah and being accepted by God. We now put on His righteousness. 30. Mark 16. When the church became institutionalized in AD 312, many of those in charge were politicians. This is around the time of the Emperor Constantine and the Council of Nicaea. Those in charge were politicians. Politicians is your blank, rather than godly spiritual men. The result was that Christianity was organized into a religious system whose leaders chose a human-directed structure rather than a spirit-led and empowered assembly. the spiritual reality of the Feast of Pentecost was lost for the church of Gentiles. While there had been pockets of revival throughout history, in 1906 at 312 Azusa Street, God did it again, and during the 50s and 60s, we had the charismatic renewal. Politicians is your blank. You can text me right now if you missed one. Hallelujah. I'll stay right here with my book just for a few minutes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody miss one? Glory to God. Well, let's pray, and we will start our worship service at 11:45. Father, we love you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you. There is none like you in all the heavens and all the earth. And we praise and bless you. We thank you for your word and what it means to us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. You off.